You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Is Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And a happy Thor's Day to all who celebrate. Hell, he's our guy, Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. And it's a glorious week on the road to the NFL draft, because it's pretty much pro day week. J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings are getting a private day or two with him. We had Jaden Daniels yesterday. And now today is Drake May Day, Thor Nystrom. Have you slept all week? Are you just, you're just waiting throughout the night for these pro days to start?
I feel like I haven't slept in a month, but it's a great time of the year, and we have less than a month to go, so it's really heating up. I'm just getting by on inertia at this point.
That's a beautiful thing. Hey, what's your thought about what O'Connell discussed pretty in-depth with some really interesting quotes this past week in Florida, Thorsky? What's your thought about the fact that I feel like we've graduated now from talking about pro days to, well, pro days are fine, but the personal workouts give us a chance to get the playbook in front of the kid, give us a chance to talk to the kid. I loved the O'Connell thing about taking the prospective quarterbacks out to lunch and just seeing how they operate in an environment that they like. How important do you think that part of the process has become? Because I will say this, I do agree. The pro day is rigged to look good. The personal visits actually probably challenge you far more mentally and physically.
For sure. It's like, when I used to live at home, I have a sister and my mom, they would make me watch The Bachelor, and the contestants, they would always want to go on the one-on-one date as opposed to the group date. They would always complain if they were on the group date, because they'd say on the one-on-one date, you get to know the person a lot better. You get to make the connection a lot more. You get to see if you actually have a spark there. It ain't no different as far as the private workout with the player. You get to give them your playbook. Sean Payton mentioned they did the same thing with McCarthy. We sent him all the materials in advance. They're sending him the playbook, seeing how quickly he can synthesize the information from that playbook. Then they're going to be tossing him that stuff back, both on the whiteboard and then when they get on the field. And then you also get to run them through all this stuff without the rest of the NFL looking over your shoulder. You get to run them through all your different concepts and different stuff like that. So you get to just go through it much quicker. And again, you don't have spies looking over and seeing how your connection with this other guy is.
I will say, of us on the show don't need, like some sort of qualifier to watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette. We just watch it on our own. I mean, it is, I feel like there's a, it's such an inexact science nailing starting quarterback evaluations. And we've talked about that process throughout the last few weeks, but you got to think that as opposed to the combine where you may or may not see someone go through all the drills, you may get 15 minutes with them or a pro day where all the teams are there. Like, you're right. I like the analogy that you use because that's going to be the proverbial CEO of your 53-man roster. You want to find out, are they socially weird? Are they, what's their intelligence level? Can they hang in a conversation? Can they get up on a whiteboard and explain something back that the coach is dumping on their plate, right? Like, I would think that private time. Now, the question is, do the Vikings get that private time also with Jaden Daniels and Drake May? Because it's only been reported that they're going to get a lengthy amount of time with J.J. McCarthy, right?
I have heard that they are going to work out at least three of those guys privately.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. Yes, they do.
So, yeah, what are the things that we as fans and media should be looking for? Obviously, we're not behind the scenes, but, like, what's valuable to you when you watch a pro day, Thor?
The biggest thing for me is the quantifiable data that I can plug into my thing from the testing. But with the quarterbacks, I'm also interested in the throwing session. You know, you're interested in the way it's put together. And then, of course, the throws themselves. Some of the ones we don't get to see, but some of the ones, you know, you get to see on television. But, in the whole, in the aggregate from all the players, I love that we get the testing data that I then get to plug into my sheets. And then Kentley Platt gives me the RAS scores, the athletic adjusted composites that then, you know, we can do with all that stuff.
So what, as we talk about this now, less than a month until the Fillmore first round of the draft, complete chaos, what is your sense or what are you hearing about how these QBs are falling? I'm going to take it. Caleb is one. He's going to stay one. But beyond that, as pro days occur, as we actually, and you more importantly, get information on how guys are testing, where do Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy, not in your opinion, but from the factual things that you're hearing, how do they fall right now? And have there been changes, big or small, in the feelings about those three?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Caleb definitely won. That's your free spot on the bingo card.
Right.
But then after that, I think that's where there's been a change, right? Like heading into the process, there was a thought that you had a second free spot on the bingo card, which was Drake May. Taking a look at the betting board, I think is always a good idea of reality against, you know, perception on this. We have now changed to a three-horse race for the number two spot. And that has only been a change in the last 48 hours. I thought it was really interesting that the owners' meetings open up and Tom Pelissero, our buddy in town here, he reports that he was going around pulling an informal poll of different executives, not talking to Washington, but talking to other executives around the NFL, just informally. Who do you believe that Washington will select with the number two pick? And he said to a man, the majority of the responses he was getting back was J.J. McCarthy. You saw then the odds boards changed from J.J. McCarthy went from either 20-1 or 22-1, depending on the book that you had looked at, 48 to 72 hours ago to be the number two pick. Now he is plus 250 or plus 275 to go number two overall, J.J. McCarthy. So the odds boards have totally shifted. Jaden Daniels now is minus 125 range, Drake May plus 125. And then you have McCarthy now very much in the mix at plus 250 or so. So it's a three horse race there. And then New England, and Robert Kraft, he was very open about this. I thought his comments at the owners meetings were extremely telling, where they asked him about their intentions with the third pick. And he said, if I put my fan hat on, I absolutely agree that it would be we just stick and pick a quarterback. But you guys have to understand that there's more things going on here. And there's a whole bunch of teams that are offering a whole bunch to move up and different stuff like that. And we have to listen to those offers. And if there is an offer sufficient enough to move down, I'm going to trust my football people as far as that goes. So I think that's what it is. I think we got a true three-horse race for the number two pick. And I think New England, it is going to come down to, will a team, cough, cough, the Vikings, meet our asking price for the number three pick? If they do, that will consummate a trade. If not, they stick and pick the quarterback, and then the Vikings would move down to talking to the 4 and 5 team.
Do you think, well, actually, two questions for you. Number one, how does it feel to be the guy that bought J.J. McCarthy's stock? It's like if you bought Amazon stock in like 2001, you're like, this is great. You bought J.J. McCarthy's stock, sports stock, you know, at the very early stages when he was going in second rounds of mock drafts, and now he legitimately might go number two overall. So take a victory lap, Thor Nystrom. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like Biff Tannen getting the sports almanac out of Marty McFly's car, you know, or whatever, and what then being able to bet it, except all it really was watching Michigan down the stretch live last year. McCarthy is who he thought he was, and the NFL appreciates that ability, and he's going to be going very, very high.
My second question to you is, can the Vikings go wrong? Let's say whether they're trading up or whether they're, or maybe they could be trading up to three or they could be trading up to four. But if they find a way to get Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, is there a wrong answer for the Vikings on that set of options? Or are they just sitting really well if they get any of those three in your mind?
I would answer that with a shade of gray. There's not a wrong answer as far as one of those three guys goes. I think they're all really good prospects, and they all deserve to go in the top five. I think the only wrong answer would be paying too much. The only, you know, shade of gray that I would put on there is there. It's the same thing as with Cousins, right? You and Kwesi mentioned this as far as that negotiation goes. You in any negotiation, you have to have a price where you're willing to go. And if the price of that asset becomes too much, you have to be willing to walk away. That's any market. That's any negotiation. That's any asset.
So I got to think the Patriots, to go back to what Kraft said, and this is where the meetings in Florida are so intriguing, because you do get the fact that the owners talk, who never really talk, they can tip their hands. And I think the Patriots thing, to circle back, is incredibly interesting because of this. We know for a fact that Elliot Wolf is going to have the final say now of the Patriots draft. His father is obviously Ron Wolf. Now, Ron Wolf did trade for Brett Favre in 92 with the Packers. But Ron Wolf, if you look at his construction, Thor, of teams, he knew that you had to construct a roster before you got a quarterback. I got to believe that the Patriots and, of course, the Cardinals, who already have shown that they're predisposed to this, are both going to be open for business. So I'm going to ask you this question. I believe a week ago you balked, but it's very clear to me that the asking price, if you're going to go try and get Drake May at three, possibly here, is going to be your two draft picks, and the other real sweetener is your 2025 first. Are you more open to that than you were in the past couple of weeks?
No, I'm not giving up that 2025 round one. That's the one asset that I want to protect. My, you know, where I sort of fall on this, it's pretty simple. I am willing to take the quarterback four in order to trade for the fourth or fifth pick, which should not require giving up that selection, right? The two first round picks and potentially a sweetener if it's the fourth pick should be sufficient to get whether it's the fourth pick or the fifth pick. You won't even have to give a sweetener. In fact, the Chargers might have to kick something back to you. I do not, as far as the way that I see those prospects, I don't need to give up the additional, the 2025 round one to get to the third pick.
So you would not go to the third pick?
Absolutely not. And this is some, you know, I like J.J. McCarthy more. J.J. McCarthy now is getting the steam, may go in the top three. This is even coming from someone that likes J.J. McCarthy more. If that was the only scenario where I could get J.J. McCarthy, I still wouldn't do it, right? Like, I would settle for Drake May at, let's say, number five, if it meant saving that round one pick in 2025. However that looks, I will pay the lower slot for that guy at four or five and protect what could be a monster asset in 2025. Keep in mind, the sports books put out for the Vikings a 6.5 win total for next year on the odds boards, which I think was tied for the fifth lowest in the NFL with like four other teams, something like that.
Yep.
Right now, the Vikings are projected to have one of the 10 worst records in the NFL next year, which makes sense with all the dead cap hit that they're taking next year. They're going to be starting Darnold or a rookie quarterback. The team, they do have some stars on the team, of course, but they're not going to have a lot of depth because of all that dead cap they have to carry. Next year is the reboot season. 2025 is when the fun starts. Because of all that, you don't want to be in a situation. I put this on Twitter. The Carolina Panthers from this time last year are a great cautionary tale of why you don't just start tossing in future picks like Mardi Gras beads. That's what the Panthers did. They were like, oh, we have to get our guy. You know, if you can get your guy, you have to toss in whatever, you know, whatever it takes to get it. So they went way above Kelly Blue Book price to make that trade with the Bears. Well, now the Bears have the Caleb Williams pick from that trade, in addition to all the other DJ Moore, the pick from last year. It turned out to be an awful trade that set the Carolina Panthers back by a decade. I think it's very important for the Vikings to figure out a way to get a top four quarterback while protecting that potential monster asset of the 2025 first round pick.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
I couldn't agree more with Thor in this case. What we don't know is, do the Vikings put, let's take Caleb out and just talk about the other three. Do the Vikings themselves internally, Kevin O'Connell specifically, because he's the one that's essentially making this pick, or he's the one identifying which quarterbacks he likes better than the other ones. And then Kwesi then has to start to do the math on what you just said. But I'm with you, man. Like, if they identify Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy, they say, wow, look at this freaking class of quarterbacks. Quite frankly, we like J.J. maybe a little bit better, but we love all three of these guys. We can make them work. Why on God's green earth would you then give up a 2025 first-round pick to take one of those three over the other?
Yeah.
It would be malpractice as a front office. So I mean, you're kind of talking me even more into the stance that I've held now for the last couple of weeks, but it probably does make more sense to explore the fourth or the fifth slot than the third slot for those reasons.
That's where I'm at. Yeah, and the Patriots and Robert Kraft 3-4 days ago made it even more clear, as if we didn't need it, made even more explicitly clear. Their stance is very simple. If we are bowled over with the way above Kelly Blue Book trade offer, we're probably going to take it. So what they're telling the Vikings is, yeah, offer us both those first round picks, offer us your 2025 first round pick, and maybe probably more. If I'm Kwesi, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to talk to the Cardinals and I'm going to talk to the Chargers. We are content taking the quarterback four, if indeed the three quarterbacks are going to go above. And by the way, we don't know for sure that the Patriots are going to take it. I assume that they're going to do that, but who knows? Maybe they trade with a different team. But even so, a quarterback four is still going to be available at the Cardinals pick. You pay less in terms of draft equity for that. You also are going to be paying less of a slot. So less of your cap is delineated to that. I think that is the more sage plan.
Interesting stuff, man. So if we are talking about picks four or five right now, feels to me like you probably need to go to four. And the Cardinals will trade. But that's my problem is, I feel like if you go to five, there's a very good chance the Cardinals will trade. So I don't think the price of the Cardinals pick is going to be cheap, but it feels like with what you're saying, which is three of those four, we don't know whom are going to be available, that if you can lock into a trade at four, you're probably going to be, you are going to be safe. At five, you might be safe, but you're not sure. The only thing is, I really have the feeling that the Cardinals, the Chargers behind them, and then the Patriots to a large degree are all going to try to make moves. And I do think the Patriots probably get what they want from somebody.
Let me add something to what Judd just said. You could trade into the fourth slot tomorrow and be fine, right? Because you know you're going to get one of those quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If you like all three. But you can't trade into the fifth spot until the fifth spot is on the board.
Yeah.
Because if you trade into the fifth spot tomorrow, the Giants can be like, or anyone can be like, oh, wow, this is great. We'll just move right ahead. We'll just, oop, let me just scoop past you there, Vikings, and you'll be screwed, and you won't get any of the top four quarterbacks.
Yeah, and there was an underrated, extremely positive development for the Vikings that occurred yesterday at a pro day that Jaden Daniels was at, although it didn't have to do with Jaden Daniels, which was Malik Nabers going absolutely ballistic during his pro day workout. Malik Nabers, a guy who did not work out at the combine, Roma Dunze did, and Roma Dunze worked out well better than anyone thought and proved that he was a stud athlete. Malik Nabers saw that and was like, all right, hold my beer. I'm going to go because people were poo-pooing his athleticism. He's like, screw that. I'm going to go out and I'm going to prove that I'm a ridiculous athlete. That's what Malik Nabers did yesterday. There has been this thought, and you guys know this, vis-a-vis the Cardinals at number four of, well, okay, you know, I know that the Cardinals last year, the first year that Monty Austin Ford was in charge of these decisions, I know, they traded down and they were able to trade back up in a very similar situation, but that was last year. This year, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be on the board. He's a generational wide receiver prospect. Yeah. You can't just assume that he's going to trade down. But with Malik Nabers having proof, Malik Nabers' tape is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, that guy is a flying Ferrari on the field. Now he has proven that he's got a jetpack in real life. Like, the guy's a friggin' superhero. Roma Dunze as well. I've mentioned to you guys when we've talked about those guys before, those two would have been wide receiver ones in most of these wide receiver classes that we have going back last 5-6 years. Just if Marvin Harrison wasn't in this class. I think if you're Monty Austin Ford, even if you're zeroing in on wide receiver, which would make sense, their wide receiver room stinks. At this point, what, you're going to get myopic on Marvin Harrison Jr. and turn down the possibility to parlay the possibility of that pick into getting one of those two other guys in addition to numerous other picks? I've seen possibilities tossed out of, if you can grab the Vikings two picks, you get 11, you get 23. Then you could, the Cardinals have a bunch of other picks as well. And that's been another argument of why would the Cardinals do that? I'll tell you why. Because you could add, let's say, one of their excessive third round picks and you toss that in with 11. Then you could get, for instance, number 8. You could jump ahead of the, you could jump ahead of the Bears. This is exactly what Monty Austin Ford did last year when he traded down. Then he traded back up because the guy they wanted was Paris Johnson. If they could get one of those top three receivers and come out with extra picks, it would be a bonanza of a day one for them.
Yeah. By the way, everything you just said, same thing for the Chargers. But the I wouldn't be surprised with what Jim Harbaugh loves to build trenches first.
Yeah.
And our guy Alex Boone played during those San Francisco heydays, played for Jim Harbaugh. And
Phil, the only two position groups in this entire draft class that are better than quarterback, offensive tackle and wide receiver. Yeah. And those are the two that those two teams need.
And either one of those teams could scoop back toward 11, move back up and still get. I mean, hell, dude, the Chargers could trade back and still get Joe Alt with, you know, and they could move back up if they need to as well. So,
but if not, you know, Fuaga, Fatanu, the kid from Penn State. I mean, you have all kinds of offensive tackles. And then even at the top of Friday, there's going to be starting offensive tackles there. So, I mean, it is a very deep position group, as is wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, Race, so if, we know that the Vikings are clearly probably trying to get to 4 or 5. What's that race like? It's the Vikings. It's Denver. It's possibly the Giants to go up a couple spots, but they're at 6. Like, how many credible threats, Thor, do you think that there are here? Because that's what's going to, at the end of the day, drive the price. Like you can go to the trade charts all you want, but at the end of the day, it's if you got 5 teams trying to get 2 picks, it's going to get incredibly competitive. So Denver, maybe the Giants trying to go up, the Vikings
Raiders,
for sure.
Raiders.
The Raiders might. Is a good one. Yeah, what's the credible threat list like for this?
I think if it's like, you know, like the risk assessment, like on the chart that, you know, the government puts out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sean Payton, our arch nemesis, our arch rival in Minnesota, I think he's the red alert. Exactly.
Okay.
That's the guy you're watching out for. And speaking of the owners meetings, they asked Sean Payton about the trade up possibility. And he's like, oh yeah, we are looking to trade up. Like, he wasn't even hiding his cards on it.
Nope.
So, there is.
So he's the guy that, and that organization is the one the Vikings have to watch out for. I would put the Giants at like mid, like assessment level. They are the one where if one of those, if the at four, you know, let's say the Cardinals, if they don't have a great offer from the Vikes or the Broncos, like the sort of the Godfather offer, that's where I could see them with the Giants, like, oh, we'll take just a little bit, and then we'll bounce back two spots, and then we'll take a Neighbors or a Dunze, like, you know, our preference of those two guys. But the Giants, in some ways, they played themselves in terms of this idea of trading up, because they already gave up all that equity to trade for Brian Burns. So for them, you have to give up ancillary picks. They're not going to trade their first-round pick next year to trade up two spots.
Right.
Right? So it's
– no question.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot with that. The Vikings can trump any trade offer that they have unless they would do that, but that would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, boys, let's spend the last 20 minutes here with Thor here on this Thor's Day, and we'll get to a random Viking of the week as well when we say goodbye to Thor. Let's do a mock draft simulation with everything we just talked about, and we're gonna give PFF a chance to make amends here for the first time in 3 weeks. It looks like they've righted their algorithm more aligned with what the public and the mock drafts are saying. So we'll do all of that here in a second. But Judd already mentioned it. We are so excited for April 25th at the sold out Fillmore in Minneapolis for the third annual Purple Daily Draft Party. Sold out, but on Wednesday, April 3rd at 10 a.m. Central Time, we are going to make 20 VIP tickets available at scorenorth.com/party. So again, it's a small amount. We're trying to work with the venue to get a few of you that didn't get tickets the first time around in the door. So 10 pair, 20 tickets, VIP tickets. They're $100 a piece. You get a Score North beanie, a meet and greet with the show beforehand, food and drink vouchers. It's scorenorth.com/party Wednesday, April 3rd at 10 a.m. Central Time to get those VIP tickets. We've also partnered with Element Hotel right above the Fillmore for a 15% room rate discount. And that offer is valid April 25th through the 28th. So the whole weekend, you can get that 15% discount. For that discount, it's scorenorth.com/hotel. scorenorth.com/hotel. And a shout out to our friends at Crybaby Craig's Gourmet Hot Sauce. Man, that's my favorite
great
hot
stuff.
Sauce.
Yep.
Same.
Oh, they've jumped on board as a sponsor of the draft party, and all VIPs in attendance will get a free bottle of Crybaby Craig's. So let's rock and roll. Also, a shout out to our friends real quick at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Gentlemen, Federated's been around for over 100 years. If you're a business owner and you don't have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims, make sure that you let Federated game plan it for you. They offer customizable lineups of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you continue your winning streak as a business owner. Federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours.
I want a mock!
Mock!
Okay, boys, you see it on the YouTube screen. We will navigate the audio audience through this. We're going to be the Vikings at 11. We'll see if we can squeeze in seven rounds in 15 or 20 minutes here. Slow speed to start off with. We'll enter the draft room here, courtesy of PFF. And Thor, so let's start it. We'll see what happens with the first two picks before we make any rash decisions.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. So the Bears are on the clock. The Bears select Caleb Williams. Commanders select Jaden Daniels. So would you like to, per our conversation, see what the Patriots do, and then maybe we trade into the... Like, if the Patriots take a quarterback, then we engage the Cardinals at four.
Yes, right? That's exactly what I'd like to do. Robert Kraft is asking for too much.
So go ahead, Robert Kraft and company, your new front office, new coach. And okay. They wind up taking Drake May with the third pick.
That's okay. All right. We'll engage with the Cards here.
Okay. So we'll float the 11. We'll float the 23. Should we get them to maybe kick something back?
Sure. Yeah, let's take something back.
Maybe the...
We're not robbing
the 104.
Them.
Yeah.
Or maybe...
Yeah, hey, why not?
What about the 90? Would they kick that 90? It says they'd kick the 90, dude. The 71? They're kicking the 71.
Yeah. I don't...
Go ahead, like Judd. Go ahead.
Come on, Judd.
No. Do it. I just don't think PFF has a realistic view. Like, because it's not like just the Vikings here. It would be Denver. It would be like... So...
Yeah.
I, I don't think the trade would be nearly as favorable as PFF allows.
Well, they're letting
us.
That's fine. They're letting us kick back the 66. So we'd be swapping the 11.
See if we get 27 too. Take our first two rounders out. See what happens.
I agree with Judd, but I think we could get a third round pick back, don't you? So they get two first round picks. Yeah. We'll take the 90 back. Does that work?
Yep.
We're leaving stuff on the table, but we'll do that for PFF.
Okay. Do you think in real life, Thor, that you'd get a deal like this where you give up the 11, the 23 for the 4, and they'd kick in the 90 or something higher?
I think it's the two first rounders are going to be sufficient there. It would just depend on the market, depending on the rest of the deal. Would they kick in a third to get that done? They would have to have no other trades on the board, offers on the board, but maybe.
Here you go.
By the way, they just accepted our offer right there.
Midget McCarthy, you are a Viking. Come on down.
Do we take Marvin Harrison Jr. and let Sam Darnold run wild? No.
It's okay. McCarthyism time.
Goodell's hugging him right now.
I love how PFF makes us scroll way down for JJ McCarthy. Look at this.
Still a bad ranking by PFF. They're going to kill us on the grave, but I don't care.
So we're taking JJ McCarthy with the 4th overall pick.
Nice.
There he is, your quarterback.
All right,
of
Thor. Thor's
the
day is made.
We got it.
So our next pick isn't until the 90. I'm going to speed this up a little bit so we can fly through. So let's just let it run through until the 90th pick, and then we can see who's on the board. But that gives us a day 2 pick, right? We don't have a day 2 pick, so we get the 90, plus we get the 108, the 129. So you wind up with JJ McCarthy, and then 3 picks before the end of the 4th round. Guys, like, sign me up.
I love that.
Oh, God, if you can get that trade? Yes, 100%.
We're cooking with gas.
So yep. here's what's left here, Thor. You can, I mean, obviously, we could still use interior defensive line. We could use cornerback help. Looks like Renardo Green is the number one ranked cornerback here on the PFF. But you tell us what you want to see.
Let's see. We're going to be looking for defensive line, edge, obviously, interior offensive line. So those positions...
I can go. Let me go interior defensive line here for you.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, oh, Michael Hall Jr.
Michael Hall did test well at his pro day.
Jubb wants to know how big he is. 6'2", 280.
No, he's
small,
not that big.
He's on the smaller side is one thing, but he is very active.
Do like that.
He would help out the interior pressure, which is one of the defense's big issues right now. Let's check out the edge rusher and then interior offensive line before we make a call on him.
Okay.
Just see what we got in there.
All right, we'll check out some edge here. Javon Solomon from Troy.
Undersized guy. Yeah, I don't like any at this point for those guys.
Okay, and then interior offensive line you want to see?
Oh. Well, I like all those names at the top of the board there.
Dude, Mason McCormick is a great offensive line name from South Dakota State.
Yeah, it sure
Mason
is.
Mason McCormick. Yeah.
Mustache, right? Just got to have a mustache.
Maybe
running power. Let's go.
Yeah, and McCormick tested as a stud athlete. Bo Limmert tested as a stud athlete. Mahogany and Van Praman have been really good for a while. BB's really good. There's a lot still at interior offensive line. I think we take Michael Hall this time. We pick again in 18 picks. There still should be a good interior offensive lineman in 18 picks. So I think we take Michael Hall here, and then we'll take the interior offensive lineman with the next pick.
Okay, so Michael Hall Jr. is our pick here at 90. And then it's going to speed through to the 108. We'll see what the board looks like. So we're now into the 4th round here. And I'll throw they erased the categories here. So we'll go interior offensive line. We'll throw edge. I'm going to throw a cornerback up here, too, just so you can see what the cornerback board looks like. All right. You got all 3 positions here on the screen.
Oh, my boy Cam Hart's out there, too. You guys know it's hard for me to turn down Cam Hart.
Always been a Cam Hart fan.
Yeah,
I know that.
And dude, there's going to be – there's a lot of these guys kind of between – you know, in terms of the ranking here on the big board, between 100 and 130. So there's
– All right. I got a – We got to pop Cam Hart here, and then hopefully there's the interior guy the next one. I can't help it. Cam Hart's got
I love that term.
Pop. We Cam Hopham, by the way, 6'2", 207 pounds. He's pretty big, lanky cornerback, right?
Tested well, was a stud last year.
A stud.
He tested as an 89th percentile athlete.
Okay, so we're back on the clock here with the 129. I'm going to throw interior offensive line.
Hopefully we didn't wait too.
All Michigan guys here.
might have missed it. Might have missed the window, but I had to get Cam Hart. Just go down just a little bit. Okay, well, I do like Bortolini. Can find a center with him. Nor is that as well.
We can get him later. He's the 212th ranked guy here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did kind of miss the boat here on the – I guess we could have if we were, like, dragging this out for a longer time, we probably could have just, like, paused and traded back up, obviously, but
– yeah. Zinter is good, but Zinter's hurt right now. Got hurt at the end of last year, so that would be one where you get a little bit of a discount, but you'd have to wait on it.
I'm good with that.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
Yes, dude, 6'6", 322, and he just chills for a year. You got Brandel at left guard. You got Ed Ingram for another year. Yeah. I mean, if that's, you can see the rest of the board here. We're kind of in halfback territory, running back.
My boy Cedric Gray again.
Yeah. Christian Boyd, Northern Iowa, 39 benchers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nice little day for him.
let's take Zinter just so we can knock one of those out. He's a good player.
All right, and then the 157. I can pause here, by the way, so you can see. Well, we don't get the, we can't look at the board, can we? That's the other flaw with this. It doesn't show us which players are available, so I guess we'll just keep going. See who's there at the 157. Okay, back on the clock. Oh, Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson, your big boy.
Yeah, you want a tight end with Hockenson out for an undetermined amount of time?
I'm good with Theo Johnson, yeah. Incredible athlete.
Let's take him.
Yeah.
So Theo Johnson, for the audience here, he is 6'6", 264 pounds. What's his RAS score?
993, which means he tested as one of the great athletes who has ever entered the NFL. And by the way, that was on all the tests. He did every single test, 4.57, 40. He did the three cone. He did the shuttle. He had almost a 40-inch vertical at that size. Just a ludicrous athlete. I don't know how Penn State always churns out these ludicrous athletes. I don't know what they're doing there at State College, but they always churn out just absolutely ludicrous athletes.
By the way, Joe Milton, quarterback Tennessee, is the number one player on the board here. Was he the one that threw an 80-yard pass and did a backflip at his pro day this week?
Yes, and also ran the 4.5. Yeah.
I want to see him do that in a game. Just launch an 80-yard bomb down the field to Justin Jefferson. Do a backflip. You thought the Dante get your roll on celebration was great. How about Joe Milton?
He's got a bazooka. Unfortunately, you don't know where the ball's going when it leaves his hands. Yeah. In game conditions, the only problem.
It's half the fun, Thor.
Yeah. Oh,
so, okay. So we still need. We definitely need. Well, we've drafted cornerback. We've drafted defensive interior.
Yep.
We definitely need a running back still.
Running back and linebacker, right? And a wide receiver. Would those be the three?
Yeah, let me throw these up on the board here.
Do you like that Dylan Johnson?
McCaffrey.
And Tracy. And Vidal, man. Those are three of my boys right there.
Well, that's okay. Well, let's get them both, dude. So let's get, because we pick at 177. Let's grab one of them now, pause it, trade up, and get the other one.
Okay, done. Yeah, let's take McCaffrey now, because there still is both those Tracy and Vidal are both like my two sleeper running backs that I'm a big fan of.
Okay, so Luke McCaffrey, Bloodlines. We're going to pause. Okay. And who's still? I hope we didn't miss out on somebody there. Nope, Joe Milton. Okay. Okay, let's trade with the Eagles here.
Yeah.
So we want the 172.
Will they take 177 and 230 or something like that?
It says no there.
Oh, you have to toss him 177.
Yep, go to 177.
Oh, yeah. The 177 and the 232. Yep, they're in.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, we'll offer that trade. And we're back on the clock.
Sweet.
I'll throw all the running backs on here so you can see them. Here we go.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy. So Tyrone Tracy, I rank as the number 5 running back in this class. Like I said, he's my favorite sleeper in this class. He was an Iowa receiver earlier in his career, the first 4 years. extremely physically gifted. 5 foot 11, 205 pounds, 9.77 RAS. The last 2 years, he transfers to Purdue. They switch him to running back. Last year, he really opened eyes with his tape as a running back. They didn't use him very creatively as a receiver. I think that's the area of his game that's going to jump up at the next level. We already know he can catch the ball because of his background. But the running tape, he was accruing explosive runs at a ridiculous rate for the dead-end team that he was on. I think when people start watching his tape, he's going to open eyes and rise here in this last month heading to the draft. But like I said, he is number five on my board.
And he had a great RAS score. What was his 40 time?
His 40 time was 4.48, I believe. 4.48, 4.47, something like that.
Another thing, too, to account for is now that the NFL has radically changed the kickoff, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way that kickoffs are blocked now, it's much more like a standard running play than a kickoff return. I mean, it's like you're going to have – essentially, you're going to have teams on the kickoff blocking unit running like zone run blocking schemes, right? You're going to be running running plays.
It's a great point. Yeah.
So you're going to want a running back that has some vision and some experience being an actual running back.
And this is what Tracy does. He's a wide base slasher type with really good agility, and he sees those cutback lanes. So, and by the way, returning last year, it was the first time he'd ever done it. I don't know why Kirk Ferentz hadn't put him out there. He returns a touchdown last year for Purdue, and on a per return basis was very, very good. That's something in year one, right from the get, he should be able to do in the NFL.
Because he's Kirk Ferentz. That's why, Thor.
I try not to bag on my boy Ferentz too much, but you might not be wrong about that.
He deserves it. Okay.
And so our last pick here is
I think you boys know where this is going. Phil, punter. Please go to the punters.
Yeah, sorry. Punter.
Hey,
forget.
Can let's also throw kickers up there.
Okay.
I got all of special teams here.
I got a sneaky suspicion they might take a kicker.
Torrey Taylor is still sitting there.
Judd, you know I have to take Taylor. I mean,
next time we'll
keep the extra seventh rounder to take that.
No faith in John Parker Romo. Come on, no faith.
It feels to me like they're going to take I think they're going to draft one special teams guy. I think they're going to take a punter. Or
you boys want to trade back and see if we can get one other pick and then take
that's
our
what
kicker?
I was, that's what,
okay, let's do it. If we can get another seventh, I'm down. We could take Carty or Little or Reichert.
Okay, so there's three teams interested in trading with us.
Can we get 237, 238 for 230?
So 237. So you're
looking
saying
from the Bengals there? Yeah.
Get both of these from the Bengals?
Oh, come on.
It says it will not be accepted. Why? Why would they not? They want to trade. What?
Yeah.
I guess. Oh, so what if it was like a future? Okay, we'll get a seventh round next year? No?
Well, no, because, yeah. And we don't have a seventh rounder next year to trade him. Yeah. See if there's another
team. We're out. Later hang up the phone, Phil.
Okay, what about the Packers at 245? So we'd be getting the 245, the 255. It says it will not be accepted.
Okay, just forget about it. I'm done with these teams. Yeah, I'm done with these teams.
We're taking the punter. Okay. We're taking the punter. We're taking Taylor from Iowa.
Next time we'll get our kicker as well. As long as we get Torrey, though.
I just got a sneaky suspicion they're going to take a kicker or punter.
There we go.
They should get both. We'll just roll with the rookie special teams.
I would love that punter. I would love to get him, and then Wright's gone. It's not like Ryan Wright had a good year last season.
They're giving us an A minus for this draft. I don't know.
Look at the McCarthy grade, though.
Yeah.
Interesting how they came up
with
A-. And
they hate Luke McCaffrey. They hate your guy.
I don't get that. Getting Luke McCaffrey in the fifth, 167, that is great value. Getting Tracy fifth, that's good value. So the only pick that they loved of ours is Theo. I mean, that's a good pick too, but.
And what's the overall grade?
A minus for an overall.
So how do they arrive at an A minus from the cumulative scores I'm looking at?
I don't know. No idea.
Anytime you get an A minus and you did C work, you take it.
Don't ask questions.
You do not ask questions.
Yeah, you head right to the bar.
That's right.
That's what you do.
Thor, final words from you on this. Great. Hey, we got our quarterback. We got some really interesting skill position players. Got a couple trenches guys.
Yeah, that would be a good draft there. Yeah, we get the quarterback, and then of course we have to address the trenches. It's got to be we're going to get the sizzle to start, and then it's infrastructure after that. Sizzle infrastructure. That is this draft.
I love it. Put it on a T-shirt. Sizzle plus infrastructure equals first championship in Minnesota Vikings history.
We're building it, baby.
So he's Thor Nystrom. You can find his work, Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, and tell the audience, as always, about your podcast you guys just launched about a month ago.
Yeah, check out the Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast feed. I have a new show with Derek Brown, the NFL Draft Show at Fantasy Pros. We go through all the different position groups, break it down. Last episode we did the consensus wide receivers 11 through 20 and then gave our rankings, gave comps for those guys, different stuff like that. We have vastly different opinions, of course, as you guys probably know from the consensus and the way other people see them. So check that out. Dropping mocks, dropping my rankings, just dropped my top 22 running backs in this draft class. With comps, with Raz, with full scouting reports. So check that out on Fantasy Pros as well.
Yeah. Let's go.
Inject it, Thor.
Give me all the Raz. Give me every bit of Raz that's to be had.
You got the Riz?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not the Raz
I'll
king.
The Raz. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Thor, we'll do it again next Thursday. We appreciate you. And yeah, this is a blast. What a time to be alive here if you're a Vikings fan.
Appreciate you, boys. We'll see you next week.
Thor Nystrom, Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, boys. We'll do a random Viking of the Week here to wrap the show in just a moment after we shout out our friends at Zero Res. While it's roster cleaning season for a lot of teams, it's spring cleaning season for all of us. Those dirty carpets, dirty houses, tracking in snow and mud from the week. Why don't you call Zero Res with their 4.9 RAS score or 4.9 rating out of 5 on Google? And ask for the Score North Special. Get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $129 and $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. That's 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North Special. Spell it forwards or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res. Time for a random Viking of the Week here, where we pit two members of the show against each other in a battle of historical wits. Losers out every week, and Declan was the loser last week, with Brian Robinson being the correct answer.
It's weird. I should have been in on that, and I was completely aloof the entire time, and I got clowned in the comments for it, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. I can't let that one sneak by.
So because Declan got clowned last week, he's going to throw out the clues here. Judd has 17 wins in the new era. I have 12. Declan has 8. All time, Judd has 68 career wins, Declan 34, and I have 19. Brian Robinson, Alexander Mattison, David Blau, Napoleon Harris, Darren Sharper, and Roger Craig are the last handful of random Vikings. So Dex will throw out the clues. We get 3 strikes each. We can shout out guesses whenever we want. If one of us hits a third strike, the other person wins automatically. No Googling, but you can control F, search for if that player has been used previously.
All right, I'll give you an interesting twist on this first clue. I was shocked how much both of you loved this random Viking of the Week. And when I say loved, I have evidence in numerous tweets from both of you. And I am truly shocked.
I'm going to control F.
Control F.
Not because, and I will say, not necessarily because he was like a horrible player. It just really fits the random Viking of the Week.
The player does?
Yes.
Or our reaction to the player? Okay.
It's both. I mean, it's both because you guys were very high on this guy, and it's just kind of confusing because I think he's a pretty random player in Vikings history. Let that sit in for a little bit as I give you some of these other clues here. We talked AAF on Write That Down yesterday, and this guy was a baller in the AAF after leaving the NFL. Really good AAF player.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
This random Viking of the Week is 35 years old. He no longer plays football. He actually, according to his LinkedIn, actually a very interesting LinkedIn page, he runs a D1 training facility in Kentucky. And before that, he worked for Fanatics as an internship where he created 15 to 20 second marketing commercials, learned about in-venue retail of Fanatics brands, and gained experience with customer service assisting customers with inquiries.
Oh.
But he went to the AAF.
After playing in the NFL.
Right.
This would have been, I'm just thinking of this era,
was a baller in the AAF.
I didn't know he was a baller in the AAF until Wikipedia confirmed it. Not that, like, everyone knows AAF individual seasons, but...
No, that guy was. Okay.
This random Viking of the Week started in the first game at US Bank Stadium.
I'm going to control F again. Okay. I have a guess.
Okay.
Is it Audi Cole?
Audi Cole.
No, he was long gone by the time they played in US Bank Stadium.
Was he? I thought he had like a, didn't he have like an epic pick six or something in the preseason there or something?
In the Metrodome. He had two,
oh, was it in the
he
dome?
Had two touchdowns in the same game.
That's right.
Dome.
That's right.
Back when I was covering the team. You guys might not know this, but I was once the lead beat writer for the Minneapolis Bay Star Tribune.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, because you were also this guy's biggest fan, because you wrote numerous Zolgad four and outs and numerous Sportswire posts about this random Viking of the Week, Judd.
The Sportswire.
Hell.
Sportswire.
Sportswire. I'll even say this. Even Mackie wrote on the Sportswire about this player.
Oh, I used to dominate the Sportswire. Some of my best work in my career was on the Sportswire at 1500ESPN.com.
Whatever happened to Tom?
Not sure. Not sure what happened to Tom.
It's too bad. I thought he had talent.
He had a bright future in this
industry. I thought he had a lot of talent, but then he left us, and I don't know what happened.
Not sure.
Random Viking of the Week had two touchdowns in his NFL career. That's it.
So I wrote numerous?
Numerous. Like, I was floored how many times you mentioned him in Sportswire posts to ScoreNorth.com. You definitely, Judd, have more tweets than Mackie does on him.
Control effing again. No, we've done that guy.
He played in 39 NFL games, all with the Vikings. He bounced around some practice squads and some other rosters, but in terms of NFL experience, he only played with the Vikings.
And he had two touchdowns.
Two NFL touchdowns.
Wouldn't be him. I don't think. No.
This random Viking of the Week was a guest on the Mackie and Judd radio show. According to Twitter.
Sorry, I'm control-F-ing again. No, we've done him.
He was a guest on the show.
Mm-hmm. And again, judging by your tweets and the Score North account, not only was he a guest, you guys would lead topics with this guy. And I'm truly floored. I really am.
And so he was, well, we were pretty desperate at the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's also true.
You might not be aware.
We were doing 16 segments a day.
I was aware.
So before you clown us about our time on 1500... Okay.
I don't remember the 3:45 wake-ups. Yes, I'm... Well, random Viking of Week was a seventh-round draft pick.
So he's like teammates with freaking Boone and Searles.
Yep, he was teammates with Boone.
What round was he?
Seventh?
Seventh round, he was teammates with Boone.
Gee, this is... Okay. This is obvious.
Okay.
Okay. Here comes the train. Train's coming through St. Louis Park right now.
Is it? No, it wouldn't be him, would it?
Judd, do you have a guess?
I'm waving to the conductor right outside my door.
Okay. But you said he was a baller in the AAF. I was going to guess an offensive lineman.
He led the AAF in a pretty prominent statistical category.
So it's not an offensive lineman.
No. It is a skill position guy.
Oh.
Seventh round pick.
No. This is such a weird era of Vikings football.
Oh, God. Hold on.
But it's not that. You had him.
All right. I'm going to go here.
Oh. Is it David Morgan?
David Morgan.
Oh, if it's David Morgan, I don't feel bad at all.
Hold on. I might have a third guess. I might just light this one up. I'd have a third. I have another guess, but do I want to just be done or no?
I gotta go talk to Chip. So if you've got a third guess,
okay, give one clue and then I'll end the game.
All right, this random Viking of the week caught passes from Christian Ponder, Teddy Bridgewater, Sean Hill, Sam Bradford,
Rhett Ellison.
So Judd wins by default. Judd, do you have just any guess at all here?
Okay, I'm guessing it's a receiver.
Yep.
Okay. A seventh round receiver.
Was not drafted by the Vikings. You actually clowned the Packers for passing on this guy and giving him to the Vikings, according to a tweet.
Oh, that's the former me. I'm much more.
Oh yeah, totally.
Now, I don't know who.
Charles Johnson. You guys have tweets loving Charles Johnson. And, like, he had a little pop-up 2014 season. He was fine. Wait. You guys have tweets. Judd, on December 16th, 2015, Vikings would be wise to get Charles Johnson back in the offense if that means less time for Mike Wallace in it, which I understand what you're doing there. That was a column. The Packers' loss of Jordy Nelson brings up the fact the Packers bailed on former seventh-round pick Charles Johnson. Mackey, wow. Charles Johnson, colon, good wide receiver. A Vikings pet peeve, some Twins offseason truth, and some praise for Charles Johnson. I think you'll like our Charles Johnson interview next on 1500 ESPN.
I don't even remember having. I have no recollection of having Charles Johnson on the show.
No, I don't
Zero.
Either.
So yeah, he caught 31 passes for 475 in 2014. Dude, those were dark years for Vikings wide receivers.
Yeah,
dark years.
I honestly don't feel bad. I have no recollection of this.
That's hilarious. This shows how much you black out doing a 4-hour radio show every day for years and years. So congratulations to Judd for backdooring a victory here on Random Viking of the Week.
Just no recollection.
No.
Feedback Friday
Zero.
Tomorrow here.
My mind. It's gone.
On Purple Daily, where we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.